أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله أجمعين وأصحابه المنتجبين. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم: الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most compassionate. Respectable audience, distinguished listeners, honorable viewers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respectable audience, you might be well aware that in the previous lecture and lesson we talked about the unity of the divine attributes. We did touch this topic that there are some three fundamental schools of thought in respect with the divine attributes. We named that there are theological schools of thought such as Ash'arites, such as Mu'tazilites, and the Shi'ites. And they have their own particular vision, and they have their own particular understanding of the divine attributes. And we talked about this important issue that the most reasonable account in this respect is that is of the Shi'ites. For their understanding of the divine attributes does not imply multiplicity or composition of Almighty Allah, while the rest of the theological understanding pertaining to the Ash'arites and the Mu'tazilites imply multiplicity of God or multiplicity of many eternal existence parallel to Almighty Allah. In order to avoid such false implications, in order not to fall victim to such false implications, the Shia theologians say that we should believe that the divine attributes are identical with the essence of Almighty Allah. They are inseparable. Otherness should not be observed between Almighty Allah's essence and Almighty Allah's attributes. They are both one. If we, like the Ash'arites and like the Mu'tazilites, hold that they are two different things, for sure those false implications will remain unanswered. So this was a brief look at our previous lecture and lesson. Today, God willing, we are going to touch the reasons why the Shi'ites' theological understanding seem or sound true. Why the Shi'ites believe that Almighty Allah's attributes are identical with Almighty Allah's essence. They should not be separated from one another, and they should not be detached. They should be comprehensively understood as one. There should not be any multiplicity. There should not be any composition. Today we will be talking about the reasons the Shia theologians put forth. Respectable audience and distinguished listeners, it should be kept in mind that when we are talking about the attributes, that is relevant to whom we refer these attributes to. Once again, I'm telling this, I emphasize this, for their argument is based on this subtle distinction between necessary existent and that of the contingent and possible ones. According to the Shia theological understanding, When you ascribe attributes to a contingent being, a contingent and possible existent, we can understand essence and attributes. For example, when you say that Hassan is a teacher, or Hassan is an expert in computer science, and then you say he is a father of two children, all these three ascriptions are totally different with his essence, with his self. Hassan is someone, and these attributes are something that are totally different with his self. You cannot say that knowledge that he has from the computer science that is tantamount to his self, or his relationship with the two children he has that is similar to his self. You cannot say this. But when we are talking about Almighty Allah, since he is absolutely pure and necessary existent, for sure there is not any place, there is not any room left for attributes and essence. Rather, intellectually talking, they are different. But in external world, they are one. Though we can understand, we can distinguish that the knowledge of Almighty Allah is other than his life, and his life is other than his power. But for sure, wholly talking, all are one. It means, in the external world, there is only one God with all these three attributes. So, the difference lies in this very subtle point, that when you refer the attributes, when you ascribe the attributes to a contingent being, and to a necessary existent, that makes a difference. That makes a big difference. When you refer to Zayd, or when you refer to Hassan, like, so, for sure, his essence is totally different with that of the attributes. But when you refer the same attributes to Almighty Allah as the final and primal cause, as the efficient cause, as the necessary existent, these attributes will be one with the very, very existent. So keeping this subtle point in mind, since Almighty Allah is absolutely and utterly simple, I mean basit, so no sense of composition should be there or should exist. When the Ash'arites or when the Mu'tazilite theologians say that Almighty Allah's attributes are surplus or something other than his essence, they cannot answer this question or this false implication that there should be multiple parallel gods, there should be multiple parallel eternal beings. For they say that attributes are other than Almighty Allah's essence. So the question comes again that Almighty Allah would be in need of those attributes or not. If they say yes, Almighty Allah's needfulness will come. And this is something that no Muslim can believe in. If they say not, Almighty Allah does not need. Again, we cannot believe in a law that should not be powerful or that should be lifeless, that should be powerless. In order to avoid the existence of multiple eternal beings in existence, the Shia theologians believe that both the attributes and essence are one, and they are not surplus over another. I mean, the divine attributes are not something other than Almighty Allah's essence. While the Ash'arites and the Mu'tazilite theologians cannot give us a convincing answer to this question. The first question is the multiple eternal beings. And secondly, that is, that Almighty Allah should stand in need of His attributes that is beyond His essence. For they believe that it is something beyond His essence. If they say that is within His self, within His essence, so that is what the Shi'ites believe. If they say no, Almighty Allah's attributes are other than His essence, so for sure Almighty Allah would stand in need of those attributes which are beyond Almighty Allah's essence. Again, this is a false implication. This is a false understanding. Because we proved this and we will inshallah prove that Almighty Allah is absolutely needless. Almighty Allah does not need anything. His existence is not something like the human beings that is granted by Almighty Allah. Almighty Allah's existence, Almighty Allah's being is of His own. It is not something granted by others. It is a very important point that we have to keep it in mind. This is the critical appraisal of the Mu'tazilite in the Ash'arite teachings that we have promised to you, dear listeners, in the previous lecture. Dear listeners, another important point that, again, we have to emphasize on, that is Almighty Allah's simplicity, Almighty Allah's purity, Almighty Allah's bisatat. You know, Almighty Allah is basit. Almighty Allah is fully and utterly simple and basit. Almighty Allah does not accept any composition. And we did make it clear for you, dear listeners, that there can be two kinds of compositions. The first is external composition, that some components should come together and finally constitute one third thing, one thing that is beyond these components. For example, the motorbike is composed of different components and elements. When all the components are taken together, when they are brought together, then we can call that this is a motorbike. Otherwise, prior to that, we cannot say to a nut that it is a motorbike. While motorbike itself is composed of the same nuts, the same bolts, and the same tires, lamps, these and that. So these components, for example, 1,000 components, they constituted motorbike. This is called external composition. This is something everyone, every common and layman understands this. But there are some sophisticated and complicated composition. And that was logical and rational. Logically talking, when we define, our definition should be composed of two elements. Two elements. Theoretically talking, intellectually talking, and logically talking. And that is the genus and differentia, genus and fossil. Humans should be composed of genus and differentia. In philosophically talking, human being is composed of two different elements by the name of quiddity and existence. Almighty Allah does not accept either of these compositions. It makes no sense that Almighty Allah should be composed of these compositions, or Almighty Allah should accept these compositions. Since Almighty Allah is absolutely pure, since Almighty Allah does not accept any compositions, so for sure we cannot say that these attributes are something surplus in Almighty Allah. These are something additional to Almighty Allah's existence. So, if a person believes that these are additional, so he cannot justify how these attributes are additional to Almighty Allah's existence. Either Almighty Allah need them or not. Are they beyond Almighty Allah's existence or not? In one case, Almighty Allah's needfulness will be implied or will be the connotation. In the next, multiple eternal attributes parallel to Almighty Allah will be resulted in. While both of them are untrue, both of them are logically and rationally wrong. In order to avoid these two false implications, The Shia theologians bring reasons for their arguments that since Almighty Allah is pure, so there is no separation between Almighty Allah's essence and attributes. Respectable audience and distinguished listeners, after proving the unity of divine attributes, another stage of Almighty Allah's oneness, Almighty Allah's unity comes in the ground. And that is that Almighty Allah is alone the creator. You know that even the pagans, the disbelievers during the lifetime of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his household believed in this concept. And they did have this understanding that Almighty Allah is the creator. Almighty Allah is alone the creator. What was the problem with them? That was the management. That was that the other gods also share something with Almighty Allah in running this universe. But Almighty Allah emphasized on monotheism, on this that everything, every event, every phenomenon, all the things are under Almighty Allah's control, supervision. Everything is in the commandment of Almighty Allah. None shares Almighty Allah in this respect. There are some glorious verses of the Holy Quran that emphasize on this very important concept that Almighty Allah alone is the creator of all things. Let me recite some of those verses of the Holy Quran for you, dear listeners. They are as following. Almighty Allah in Surah Ra'd, verse number 16 says, قُلِ اللَّهُ خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارِ. The translation is, say, Allah is the creator of all things, and He is the one, the all paramount. Almighty Allah is the only creator who has created the universe, the heavens and the earth. And He is alone, all paramount, and He is one. So this is in Surah Ra'd, verse number 16. Another verse which emphasizes the very concept is Surah Zumar, verse number 62. Allahu khaliqu kulli shay' wa huwa ala kulli shay'in wakil. The translation is, Allah is the creator of all things, and He watches over all things. The very concept has been emphasized in the third verse of the Holy Quran, chapter Fatir, verse number 3, that says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ هَلْ مِنْ خَالِقٍ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. O mankind, remember Allah's blessings upon you. Is there any creator other than Allah who provides for you from the sky and the earth? There is no God except Him. So where do you stray? Where do you go? Why you wander here and there? Dear listeners, these important concepts make us alert of the constant need and the deep needfulness of the human beings to Almighty Allah's blessings. That, O human beings, have you ever asked these questions? That who has created you? And who provides all this sustenance for you? And who has made this earth a very comfortable abode and place that you have to live in and you have to reside in? And Almighty Allah, more importantly, emphasizes that finally and ultimately you will return to me. There is no any other place that should be vacuum or that should be empty from my presence. No, you will all come to me. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. To Him we would return. Another aspect of oneness of Almighty Allah is that a person should believe in Almighty Allah's creation, that He alone is the creator. You know that it is our mind that drives all these attributes from Almighty Allah's essence. Though you cannot find two things in the external world, that it should be createdness and it should be something creation, this and that. No. When we say that we have been created by Almighty Allah, abstractly talking, I mean from our own mind drive and draw all these attributes, that Almighty Allah's important attribute is creation, that He creates. And another important attribute of the human beings is that they are created. They are creature. From observing the relationship between Almighty Allah and the human beings, our understanding, our mind, our intellect, drive all these attributes. So, respectable audience and distinguished listeners, not only from the rational point of view, but also from the scriptural point, we brought you all these arguments to prove that Almighty Allah alone is the creator. And Almighty Allah alone is the one who watches over all things, and He provides all the sustenance. And no one shares Almighty Allah in creation. No one. Even if the prophets have brought some miracles or some marvelous events, again they have been granted the permission by Almighty Allah. They have been under the license or under the supervision of Almighty Allah. Had not been Almighty Allah's permission, they would not have been able to bring any simple event. So all these reflect the important concept of monotheism in unity in different aspects, in different perspectives, in different dimensions. That not only Almighty Allah is one in His essence, but also Almighty Allah is one in His attributes. Not only Almighty Allah attributes are unique, but also He is unique and He is alone the creator. None is parallel, none is similar to Almighty Allah. No one can be compared with Almighty Allah in these attributes. So, respectable audience and distinguished listeners, inshallah, in the next lecture and lesson, we will put forth some of the arguments and respect with the divine unity, with the Almighty Allah's oneness in creation. May God bless us all to be understanding all these concepts and abide by them in our own practical life. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.